VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a common goal that's being pushed by the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, by globalist leaders around the world, even religious leaders. What is the goal? It's to bring about a great reset, a total upheaval of our world's governments and political systems, the world's economy, even the world's religious system. We're told that these things will be coming to pass, but how should we respond in such times? Do we take a passive approach, or do we cry out against it? Well, joining us for discussion today on pushing back against the Great Reset, we welcome Shahram Haidian. Shahram is a former Muslim from Iran who came to the States in 1978 and committed his life to Jesus Christ. Shahram started the Truth and Love Project and is the founding pastor of Truth and Love Ministry. Shahram exposes the true goal of Islam, the threat of Sharia in America. He has served as a pastor. He's been a police officer, a former candidate for governor in Washington State as well. And Shahram, we'd like to welcome you back here to the program Crosstalk.
Jim, it's so great to be back with you. Thank you. It's such a blessing.
Hey, before we get into our topic for today, another tragedy unfolded this morning, this time at a Christian school in Nashville. I'm just looking at an article here from CBN News. Female shooter wielding these rifles, a pistol, killed three students, three adults at a private Christian school in Nashville today. Suspect also died after being shot by police. The violence occurred at the Covenant School, a Presbyterian school for about 200 students from preschool through the sixth grade. The killings come as communities around the nation are reeling from a spate of school violence, including the massacre in Uvalde, Texas. Last year, there was a first grader shot, his teacher in Virginia, a shooting last week in Denver that wounded two administrators. Police said the shooter here appears to be in her teens. This was a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church, some 33 teachers there. The website says the school's has this motto of shepherding hearts, empowering minds, celebrating childhood. Your response to what we saw unfolded here this morning?
Well, you know, it's always tragic. It's always just absolutely grieving what happens. And in this case, it happening at a Covenant Christian school there, as you said, in Nashville. You know, we're in East Tennessee. We're about 2.5 hours away, and it impacted our Christian school here at the church that I'm associated with, that is also a Covenant school, but it's not affiliated with that particular Covenant school. But we unfortunately had to go on lockdown just in case. And it is it's heartbreaking. And the fact that this is a female shooter, it's very unusual, right, that we have in this case, a female shooter. We don't know the full story. But, you know, Jim, it's the days we are in. You know, these last days we are seeing an increase of lawlessness. We're seeing an increase of just lack of the sanctity of life and respect for life. And you know, obviously we don't know the full story behind the motivation, but it shows you that we have to be on guard, both spiritually and practically. This is why we take security seriously. You know, we try to make sure that we are on top of that. It's sad that churches and Christian schools, and schools in particular, are the top two targets of active shooters. That's just statistically where we're at. And yet, we continue to have some places have gun-free zones. And not that this is a gun argument right now, but it's about the fact that we have to be on guard. We have to be shepherds and look out for these students. And so I don't know what the scenario was at this particular school, but it's just grieving. It's heartbreaking, and it's such a sign of the times that we are in.
Yeah, and sadly so. And friends, we do encourage you to be remembering the so many families that have been impacted through this tragedy here today. There's a lot of grief right now, a lot of sorrow, a lot of concern, a lot of anxiety, and certainly be praying for all impacted through this tragedy that came to pass at a Christian school today in Nashville. Shahram, We're talking today about pushing back against the Great Reset, and you have been speaking on this very aspect, a great pushback against the Great Reset. But for context purposes, if you would define for us what the Great Reset is.
Well, the Great Reset ultimately goes back to a globalist agenda. So first of all, if we look, Jim, from the Bible, I believe that the Great Reset is in line with what the book of Revelation tells us in chapter 13, that we know that there's going to be a governance globally, a one-world government, and then an economy that is going to be connected to that, and then also then a religious system, a false religious system that is also going to be connected to that, all pushing this agenda, what the Bible calls a beast system. But practically, the Great Reset goes back to the concept back in 1991 when a document was written called Agenda 21. And then in 2015, it was modified to then turn into Agenda 2030. And this is ultimately the plans and the goals of the globalist. When you look at not just you mentioned in your intro the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the World Monetary Fund, all of these entities are behind this. But then we know that there are even further entities. For example, Jim, the Trilateral Commission just 2 weeks ago. This is going back, 70, 80 years now, the Trilateral Commission with the likes of Henry Kissinger, the Rockefellers, all of those entities that are behind the scene. They have now designated 2023 as year one of the new global order, or what they would call the new world order. And that's ultimately what the Great Reset is. Use whatever means necessary to collapse the economy of the world, especially free market, a true free market economy, to collapse the national governments of the world and destroy national sovereignty, and to ultimately destroy faith in God, faith in Christianity, and bring us into this new world order. And so that's just, I think, as a quick overview. And of course, COVID gave them, I believe, the unbelievable mechanism to truly usher in this Great Reset, which by their language, Jim, and I'm just going to do a very quick quote here from Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, and this was their language that said, and I'm sure you've covered this before, that the pandemic represented a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they want to do.
So in this, in the context of this Great Reset, what is the plan, Sharam, for United States of America in the Great Reset? And I ask that because as recently as this November, and it's more likely happening many times since, I saw from Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, who vowed death to America will happen in the new order I am talking about. America will no longer have any important role. So, Sharam, what about the United States?
Well, but that's, you hit it on the head. I mean, that's what their focus is on. I believe that even with COVID and now as more and more information is coming out about the origins and the fact that, it was potentially intentionally released, the United States ultimately has to be the target, not only from the aspect of, you mentioned, Iran and Islam, because they consider the United States the great Satan, Israel being the little Satan, but it is ultimately an attack on national sovereignty. We have to remember that the God of the Bible is a God of nations and borders and boundaries and tribes and languages. He's not a God of globalism. And that's what they're doing. And the United States stands in the way of that. The United States must be brought down. Even now, it may not be completely brought down, but it must at least be weakened to the point where it is no longer the world power. It is no longer leading the way. And I think that in 2019, when at that time President Trump went to the United Nations and put them on notice that we would not go the way of globalism, that's ultimately when everything was put into motion to bring down the United States. And that's why I think you're seeing what you're seeing. You're absolutely right. It is a key. It's a linchpin in the global economy and in the global world order. U.S. goes, who's standing? Who is going to be standing to represent those values? Really no one.
And, you know, it seems militarily, Sharam, we know this. I mean, I was looking at Robert Spencer's Jihad Watch last week. They carried a story that indicated that, according to General Michael Kurilla, who leads the U.S. Central Command, that the Islamic State Khorasan province will be able to attack the U.S. or Western countries in less than 6 months. He indicated that these attacks will happen with little or no warning. And Sharam, that's, to me, that's just rather concerning to hear, especially when we see the militaries around the world, they're gearing up for battle as wokeness is settling into our own military leadership.
Oh, boy, that is absolutely right. Our military, I believe, and based on those that I have personally spoken to who are still currently in the military, the wokeness is over the top. The aspect, I mean, you just saw last week the fact that the military wants to be able to make sure that their soldiers have access to abortion and taxpayer-funded abortion and all the transgenderism. Yeah, so we have a woke military while China is saber-rattling, and indicating that they absolutely can control us. As you mentioned, then you have the Islamic element, which mm-hmm. now we know China is working very closely with Iran. We know that China is working closely with Turkey. Then there's the Russia alliance. You saw that China brought in negotiations now trying to bring Iran and Saudi Arabia back together. So I think the Islamic world is coming together. And the Islamic world, by the way, Jim, is fully on board with this global governance. You know, Islam has its own global order. It's what we call the caliphate. But they are working. They're working with the World Economic Forum. They're working with the World Government Summit. They are all in on the smart cities and the idea that we're going to have these smart cities that are going to have total surveillance like the Chinese method model. Then you have the whole ESG, environmental social governance system, that is now making corporations woke.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, our military, I think we are at the lowest readiness militarily, probably well over a generation, that what I've been told, if ever since our founding. And we have to remember, this is not an accident. This was intentional. Under Clinton, under Obama, even under Republicans, they were gutting the military, and now we have a woke military that is more focused on cross-dressing than they are on actual defending our nation.
Yeah, and that's especially troubling to see that take place. And we did see former President Trump stand up against these things, and he really became a target. He was a burr under the saddle as it relates to this, the Great Reset, the agenda that was moving forward at that time. And there was great efforts to see him rendered, to be neutralized, so to speak, where he could not be effective any longer here in this nation.
Absolutely. And that effort was intentional. That effort was at the hands of the intelligence community. Let's not forget that before President Trump took office, Obama had issued an executive order where he brought the 17 intel agencies under one, I believe, so that they could report to him. I mean, let's not forget that he was the only former president to not live D.C. His residence is within a few blocks of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
He has a secure skiff, and so I know we got to go to break, but yeah, this has been an intentional gutting of our intelligence agencies and our military, and to sabotage Trump and others who would stand for national sovereignty.
Pushing back against their Great Reset, Sharam Hadian is with us today. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can one believe in God and evolution at the same time?
Chris, many people do believe in God and in evolution by natural selection, but I don't think they should. The very reason evolution exists is to try to explain the fact that we're here without a God. It's a totally natural theory as opposed to supernatural. Recently, I heard from a Christian in Russia. He acknowledges that evolution was used as a tool by the communist government for all those years to discredit Christianity and the Bible. Today, there are many Christians in Russia, but it would be very rare to find a Christian who believes in evolution. Those who have gone through the communist ordeal have recognized that evolution and Christianity are incompatible. I wish American Christians would see that back to Genesis truth so clearly.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Pushing back against the Great Reset, Shahram Hadian is our guest today on Crosstalk. He started the Truth in Love Project and is the founding pastor of Truth in Love Ministry. His website is TILministry.com. That stands for Truth in Love, TILministry.com. By the way, Shahram is going to be speaking, one of the speakers coming up at the Solemn Assembly and Conference that is being put on by Wisconsin Christian News. This is being held in the Wausau, Wisconsin area, April 14 and 15. Just a week ago, Alex Newman was with us here in Crosstalk. He is another featured speaker at this event, April 14 and 15. All the details you can find out at CoachDaveLive.com/events. This is being sponsored by Wisconsin Christian News. If you have questions regarding this, you can reach out to Wisconsin Christian News at this number, 715-486-8066. That's 715-486-8066. And Shahram will be speaking on just going into much more detail than what we're even getting out on the broadcast here today. Shahram, I know you're a former Muslim. You certainly have a heart in reaching Muslims with the gospel. At the same time, you expose the true goal, the true nature of Islam, the threat of Sharia in America. Ramadan has just now gotten underway across around this world. This is anything but a time of peace. I mean, we're told Islam is a religion of peace, and yet Ramadan is a very, very violent time. Why is that?
Well, that's a great question. First, let's remember that Ramadan has the reason it's so significant. I'm always amazed, Jim, how Christians are being bamboozled into celebrating Ramadan. It's really crazy when you think about that Christians would celebrate Ramadan, because first of all, spiritually, Ramadan is the month that the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, claims that the revelation of the Quran was given to him. Now, you have a book in the Quran that denies so much of the Bible and denies the very deity of Jesus Christ, the sonship, the Trinity, the fact that he was ever crucified or resurrected. So, number one, no Christian should be celebrating Ramadan. Number two, the reason Ramadan is so violent, despite what Muslims will say, is because this is the month that Muhammad fought many of the major battles during the month of Ramadan. You know, there's a great website called memri.org, M-E-M-R-I.org. And memri translates a lot of the videos and things that are coming out of the Muslim world, particularly in Arabic, to English, so that we can actually hear what they're saying in their own words. And during the month of Ramadan, the clerics, so these would be like the pastors. Imagine, Jim, if during Easter, Christian pastors started talking about how we need to kill Muslims and Jews. I mean, can you imagine that? Well, this is what happens during Ramadan. Every year during Ramadan, clerics, Islamic imams around the world give sermons quoting the Prophet of Islam or battles that were fought against Jews, particularly in the northern part of Arabia, and later against Christians in the West. And this is prescribed in the Quran. Muhammad believes that it was prescribed to him by their God Allah to wage war during this month in order to establish Islam. And so that's why you see every year, there's a great website called thereligionofpeace.com. That's not promoting Islam as peaceful. It exposes Islam. And every year during the month of Ramadan, they have a jihad report. And during that month, it's the highest number of attacks. It's the highest number of non-Muslims who are killed during the month of Ramadan, and that is not an accident. It is intentional. So it's very sad, but it should also give us an opportunity very quickly that we should be bold in sharing Jesus Christ with these Muslims. I just witnessed last weekend, I was in North Idaho speaking, a Muslim woman was there with her daughter who was already a Christian, and I shared my testimony, and we shared the contrast, Jim, between Islam and Christianity, between Muhammad and Jesus Christ. And she gave her life to the Lord. She left Islam. She became a Christ follower now.
Wonderful.
And we prayed for her. And so praise God. Muslims will come to Christ if we are bold with our faith at the same time.
Friends, also keep in mind that this is not the direction our culture is going. Sharam, I'm just floored by what's going on in central London. I mean, they have decked this place out for Ramadan, decorations,
yeah,
lights, everything. And then if you just even put in the word Happy Ramadan in a search engine, you'll find out here from Time Magazine, how to wish someone a Happy Ramadan. Time Magazine, the Daily Mail, how do I wish somebody Happy Ramadan 2023? You've got Parade Magazine. You've got The Independent, how to wish someone Happy Ramadan. Women's Day. Here's CNN, an etiquette guide for non-Muslims during Ramadan. Newsweek, Happy Ramadan Wishes, 40 Greetings and Messages. On and on. You go through all these news sites. I mean, it is proliferating out there to make something which you have indicated was just a very vicious time, time of bloodshed, to somehow turn this around to be, you know, Happy Ramadan?
It is absolutely unbelievable how much we are promoting Islam in our culture, in our world,
yeah,
as we are destroying Christianity, denigrating Christianity and true Judaism, our Judeo-Christian foundation. Islam is rising. And so I know when we talk about the second half of the show today, when we talk about this, what I believe to be part of the one world religion that is rising, again, back to Revelation 13, I believe Islam is right at the center of it. And during the month of Ramadan, the battles of Hattin, the battles of Badr, the battles of Ain Jalut, all these battles that Muhammad, the battle of the trenches, Muhammad fought these battles, or his followers fought these battles. It is the most violent time, and yet we are promoting it. And but let's not forget Hamtramck, Michigan, that then opened the door for animal sacrifices for Muslims during the month of Ramadan. So now we're going to see animals with their necks cut in the streets of Hamtramck during Ramadan. Why are we giving special preference to Ramadan when it is historically violence against non-Muslims and it is spiritually absolutely contradicting Christianity? We are in a time of delusion. I think this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is where God is sending a deluding spirit upon the world because we have lost our way. We're losing truth, and it's up to Christians and programs like this to be able to make sure that we contend for Christ, we contend for our faith, and not give in to these deceptions. That's why our ministry exists in these last days, to make sure that true followers stay true to the Word of God. Not rejoice during Ramadan. We should be grieved during Ramadan, and again, witness to Muslims during Ramadan, not the other way around.
Friends, we're talking about the great pushback against the Great Reset, and we're really just scratching the surface of many of the areas, the political prong to this, the religious prong, also the economic prong. And since we're talking about the spiritual, Sharam, at this point here with Islam and so forth, tell us about this Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi. I understand that's all finished construction and open and running. Is that correct?
It is, absolutely. March, in the middle of March, it was completed. It was slated to be completed last fall, but it was pushed back. Jim, this is what I believe to be, you know, if anyone's followed our ministry, they know that as a former Muslim, I've been warning about the dangers of, for example, interfaith between Muslims and Christians, the idea of trying to find common ground. Well, now we're moving to multi-faith. Now the idea is that we have major evangelicals promoting the idea that Islam is an Abrahamic faith, that Muslims trace their lineage back to Abraham, the same Abraham as the Bible. And this is, I believe, probably the greatest deception of Satan religiously in these last days, because not only will it absolutely confuse Muslims to not come to Christ, to not leave Islam and become followers of Christ, which we know is the only way of salvation, it is confusing the world. And the Abrahamic family house was actually it came out of a document that was derived by the Muslim world that the Vatican signed in 2019, And this document was on the Human Fraternity, is the name of it, for world peace. I'm going to go to it exactly because I want to get the language of it right. It's Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. And this was put together by Mohammed Al-Tayeb, who is a Muslim Brotherhood operative from Cairo, Egypt, and, of course, the Pope, Francis. And when they signed this document, they agreed that God willed diversity in religion. Now, let's think about this for a second, Jim. The God of the Bible, who the Pope is supposed to represent, supposedly, the Vicar of Christ, he claims in this document, they signed and they kissed on it, that God willed diversity in religion, meaning God wanted there to be many religions instead of the Bible saying that there's only one way to God. Doesn't that make Jesus a liar?
Wouldn't that
make Jesus an absolute fraud?
How many times are we reading the scripture? I am the Lord. There is none else. There is none beside me.
That's right. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. No other name that we can call upon to be saved.
Yes.
Absolutely. So now they signed this document claiming that now as the Abrahamic faiths, that means Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, according to them, we're going to come together. So they built a facility where in the heart of the Muslim world, in a country that has not had a church or a synagogue in over a century, and they built a mosque, a church, and a temple, a Jewish synagogue, a mosque, and a church all on one property, and they call it the Abrahamic Family House, or the House of One, and it was completed. And I believe that this is now the model for the new one world religion. See, I never believed that the one world religion was going to be something brand new, because between Muslims, Christians, and Jews, you're talking about 4.5 billion people, half the world's population. How would half the world's population be deceived by a false prophet coming with something totally brand new versus no, taking something and syncretizing it, just like the Tower of Babel, syncretizing it in this idea that we're all one. We all worship the same God. We all come from the same background. We have a few differences, but let's put our differences aside. Jim, this is the greatest lie and the greatest deception and the greatest affront to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that same gospel that brought me out of Islam. If somebody had told me 24 years ago when I got saved, oh, you worship an Abrahamic faith and we basically worship the same God, Jim, why would I have left Islam? Why would I have become an apostate and have death threats on my life? Why would I have been disowned by my family like I was? This is a great deception. And Islam can never be Abrahamic. We can talk about that more. But I believe this is the model for the new one world religion.
You know, we're just a half minute before the break, but I want to, I mean, you're just really begging the question here, that many people have on their minds right now. And they said, I just heard you say that's not an Abrahamic faith. Did not Islam come to us through the first son of Abraham, Ishmael? So tell you what, we're 10 seconds from the break. I'm going to have you, I don't want to cut you short on that, but we're going to address that right afterwards. Shahram Hadian is with us here today on Crosstalk, pushing back against the Great Reset. And tilministry.com, T-I-L-ministry.com is his website. And again, he's going to be speaking for the Wisconsin Christian News Solemn Assembly and Conference, April 14th and 15th, a great pushback against the Great Reset, being held just a few hours from Milwaukee, in Wausau, Wisconsin, at the Stony Creek Hotel and Convention Center, coming up on the 14th and 15th of April. WisconsinChristianNews.com. We'll have more info back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elite in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book, Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head-on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Shahram Ahedian is our guest today on Crosstalk. We're talking about pushing back against the Great Reset, and certainly looked briefly at the Great Reset, what's happening politically with this. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. is not part of the picture, not part of the picture in this at all. We also spoke about the spiritually speaking right now. We're going to look at the economic briefly as well. But Shahram, there are many who are puzzled who said, well, I've always been taught that Ishmael started this, you know, Islam's thing, and that's where, you know, that it would be an Abrahamic faith through Ishmael. But you're saying that's not the case. So help us understand that important concept.
Yeah, this is a very, very important concept. In fact, it's the key concept, because there's two things we have to look at. One, we have to look at the Abrahamic covenant in the Bible, and then we have to look at an Abrahamic covenant in the Quran, because there's a separation between genealogy and then religious connection or faith. So genealogically speaking, Ishmael, who was Abraham's first son, now let's remember, according to the Bible, ill-gotten. That's not the promised son,
right?
that was covenantal. And Ishmael, according to genealogy, we could argue, would be the father to Arabs. And yes, Muhammad was an Arab from Arabia, and Muhammad was the one who claims that he got revelation of this final religion being Islam. And that's the other key. We have to remember, Islam, no matter what they're telling Christians and Jews, Islam's teaching claims it is the final religion, meaning that it is the final way. They believe the Jews went astray. They believe the Christians went astray, and they believe that now Islam must come to correct them. So, going back to the idea to the genealogical issue, can Arabs trace their lineage back to Abraham? Sure, we can make that argument that Arabs can trace their lineage back to Abraham, whether you have those who are Ishmaelite Arabs or you have Keturah, Abraham's latter wife, who there are Arabs in that too. But this is a question of faith. This is a question of religion, not genealogy. Because after all, Jim, there's many Muslims, over 85, almost 85% of the world's Muslim population are not Arabs. Hmm. We have Muslims, the largest country in the world that is Muslim is Indonesia. They're not Arabs. Those are not Arabs. They're Muslim, but they're not Arabs. You have Christian Arabs in Egypt. You have Jewish Arabs in Israel. So just because someone's an Arab doesn't make them a Muslim. So that's the first fallacy that's got to be broken. Secondly, there was no Islam mentioned during the time of Abraham. There's no mention of the God of Islam, Allah. There's no mention of Muhammad. So there was not. But here's the crux of it, and that is it comes down to the Abrahamic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
If Islam is to be Abrahamic, then it must align with the Abrahamic covenant. Jews and Christians share the Abrahamic covenant. Now, of course, the Jews absolutely blow it by missing Jesus as the Messiah. So that's huge. That's everything. But we share the covenant. It's the same covenant. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through that line would come the Messiah, the Savior. In the Quran, do we know what the Quran says? In the Quran, and I'm going to give you the actual quote here from Surah chapter 37. It says that Abraham took Ishmael, and when he reached the age of exertion, he said, "Oh, my son, indeed, I have seen in the dream that I must sacrifice you. So see what you think." And he said, "Oh, my father, do as you're commanded. You will find me, if Allah's will, of the steadfast." So the Quran says it was Ishmael that was going to be sacrificed, not Isaac.
Well,
wait a second now. That's a problem, because mm-hmm. we have the wrong son. We have the wrong promise. Then the Quran says, and also the Hadith, the Sunnah of Muhammad, tradition says that Abraham took Ishmael to Mecca, to where Mount Marwa is, versus the Bible says in Genesis chapter 22 that Abraham was told to take Isaac to Mount Moriah, the land of Moriah, where Jerusalem is. So, Jim, you have the wrong son, you have the wrong location, and you have the wrong promise. And if Islam is correct in its Abrahamic covenant, then the Abrahamic covenant in the Bible must be negated. If the Abrahamic covenant is negated, there is no Messiah.
Yeah.
Jesus can't be the Messiah. So this is how important it is that we get this right. Islam is religious terminology. Being a Muslim means you're a follower or surrendered to the God of Islam. It is not genealogical. And as I said, more than almost 85% of Muslims aren't Arabs. So just because you're an Arab, you can't. So we got to get this right and stop using this idea that, oh, well, the way we're going to reach Muslims is by saying we're all Abrahamic. We all trace our lineage back to Abraham. All three faiths begin. No, it's like plagiarism. The Quran took that concept from the Bible, but then they flipped it. They claimed Jews stole the covenant. They claimed the Old Testament Jews changed it, and they took it away from Ishmael and gave it to Isaac.
We
have a problem.
We do have a problem. And friends, there's so much more to be said, but we're going to push on to another prong of this as well. We talked briefly about the political or government, the spiritual, and Sharam, let's also talk about the economic as well. And I know just a week ago we had Alex Newman on, and we mentioned this central bank digital currency. I mean, we are fast moving toward this, are we not?
Very fast. In fact, I had said back in 2022 that I felt very strongly that 2023 would be the year of implementation for the central bank digital currency. We know there's three legs to the stool of this great reset, this new world order, or what the Bible calls the beast system. Digital ID, digital currency, and the loss of national sovereignty. They're working on that with the pandemic treaty from the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. with the health passports and all the biometrics. Now they have to have the peace that ultimately, I believe, Jim, will pave the way for the mark of the beast, and that is central bank digital currency. Let's not forget, in the United States, Joe Biden executive ordered that last March, and it was an eight-month commission to the Federal Reserve, because we don't have a central bank like Canada, like the United Kingdom, like Australia, like many European countries. We have a Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve did implement that in November, middle of November of last year. Now they're working on implementing this, Jim, at the state level. Even here in Tennessee, Jim, where it's supposed to be a conservative state, this legislative session, and I'm going to actually quickly just give you the language of the bill that they put forth, because they're now, the Federal Reserve is pushing on state legislators and governors to implement the pathway for central bank digital currency, for what would be called digital currency. And I'm going to get to it right here for you. I'm just looking at it right here. Here we go. So Senate Bill 479 here in Tennessee. By the way, this is the one that Kristi Noem in South Dakota, thank God she vetoed it. They pushed it through in South Dakota and they vetoed it. So it creates a uniform commercial code, redefines money in such a way that obfuscates the use of cryptocurrency. This then opens the door for digital currency. So even in Tennessee, we're now paving the way for the implementation. And if we watch what they did in Nigeria, when they brought this out last year, they now have parallel. They have the, I think it's Naira is their currency, Naira, something like that. They have the e-Naira, and then they have their fiat Naira. I believe you're going to see by the middle of this year, is my prediction, they're going to have e-dollar and then fiat dollar, but then over time try to transition out of fiat currency. We need states to back their currency with gold and silver. We need to push back on this agenda, because once they go digital currency, which according to the Biden executive order is programmable, is trackable, and which means that it can be shut off and on, and it must be equitable, meaning it's got to be connected to that ESG, environmental social governance score, or the woke score, as some would call it. So this is very troubling. They're going full tilt. And Jim, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that the Trilateral Commission gave thumbs up to the World Economic Forum, saying 2023 is the year. This is year one of the New World Order. Oh boy, that means they're ready to implement it. G7 nations have done it already. They've committed to it. The G20 nations have done it. And yet China and Russia are moving towards their own currency. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. They're fighting back. So I'll turn it back to you. I know it's a lot of information, but this is a absolute part of the global agenda.
Friends, understand all that's taking place, and to bring about this one world system. And listening, friend, this is why it's so critically important that we've stressed over and over on Crosstalk that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. These things are coming to pass. We're seeing them before us. We don't know the day nor the hour of the Lord's return, but we do know we need to be ready. Sharam, in this whole message here, and we've got just 2 minutes before the break, and we want to take some calls in the final segment here. How do we push back? I mean, some ask, should we even be pushing back? And I say, yes. I mean, I see Jonah cried out against the sin of Nineveh. Nineveh is going to be destroyed, but the people turned and they repented. We've seen this before where judgment was coming, but because people turned and repented. So we know these things will one day come to pass. We don't know the timing of it all. We know where to be faithful. How do we push back?
Well, I agree with you 100%. That's exactly right. Because we do not know the day or the hour, we must push back. We must resist globalism. And it starts with education. It starts with us not giving in. One of the other things that we're doing on a practical level is, I believe, Jim, that at the local level, Christians need to get together, churches need to get together and start their own alternative systems. We need to have our own marketplace. We need to have a way of bartering. We need to have our own education system, our Christian schools, our homeschooling. I think we need to have our own healthcare system. So we are working locally to try to have some alternatives, because the more alternatives we have, the more we can resist this move into this globalist agenda. On a spiritual level, we need revival in our families. We need revival in our homes, in our marriages, in men, in women. I believe that as Satan is setting up his new world order, God is still working on his divine order. God is still working to restore those things that have been stolen. And we need godly pastors, godly men and women to restore back to the way that God designed us. If we take ownership of those things that are in God's purview and not in the government's purview, render unto God what belongs to God, I believe God can give us breath to push back. I believe God can wake us up, awaken us, because so much of COVID was like mush brain. We need to awaken to these agendas, understand depopulation, understand the global economy, the global control and destroying national sovereignty. So I think the pushback is what God is calling right now. This is the we have a window of opportunity to organize locally, look at options for not succumbing to this global system, not being dependent on digital currency, not being dependent on food from the grocery store, and not being dependent on government raising our children and indoctrinating them. God is still working.
We're up against a break. Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I think of the prophets of old, like Jeremiah, who cried out, "Return, repent, stop the backsliding." We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. For many, many weeks, there have been protests in Israel over judicial reform. However, this weekend, the protests are now gaining global attention because there are thousands upon thousands in the streets, to the point some are concerned about a civil war in Israel. Many of them are on the side of the left. Some are saying that the globalist and George Soros types may be fueling it, that many of the people in the streets may not even be from Israel. Remember, Israel's on the verge of maybe going to war with Iran. Great opportunity for those that back Iran to bring dissension and strife into Israel. The issue with the judicial reform, that's their issue, and it could be reform that's needed. We won't get into that. The bottom line is, the Bible says Israel will go through a time of great upheaval, and then will come a man of perdition, the Antichrist, to bring peace and stability. Is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? Let's keep watch.
Well, friends, I feel this was perhaps a full-week series we could have conducted here on Crosstalk on this issue, but time is limited. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. But, Shahram, you have taught this. You've got a full presentation. How can our listeners obtain it?
Yeah, Jim, we actually have this on DVD. We have a DVD called The Great Pushback, and it's preparing the end-time church to counter the Great Reset. It's available on our website, tilministry.com. I encourage that people can get it, watch it, share it, have people over your house, because it is absolutely, I think, so imperative. We have a short window, as I mentioned. And then also, we have a brand new DVD that we just recorded called One World Religion Rising. Again, how to contend for Christ against this kind of deception. That will be coming out in mid-May. So they can also just check back on our website there. We should have it by about middle of May on DVD. And boy, and part of it, Jim, is because things are happening so fast, we're just trying to keep up with it and trying to make sure that we're on top of it so that God's people do not fall to these deceptions in this hour.
And they'll find that at tilministry.com, correct?
tilministry.com or tilministry.com/order. If they just put a slash and the word order, it'll take them directly to our order page where we have all our DVDs there, and they can get a copy of that.
Okay, the phones are packed. Let's begin in Olney, Illinois. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate all the work that your guest has taken, but I was wondering what I could do locally, because I vote, but people that are in there now, they just table things on the local level. And there's, you know, it just seems like the more information they want all the time in the healthcare department, and I was just wondering what I could do on the local level.
Thank you. Shahram.
Well, that's part of what I was talking about, because I really believe the pushback has got to happen only at the local level. I don't think it's going to happen at the federal level, certainly, maybe at the state level. But that's why I'm encouraging. What I encourage the caller is pray and really seek out other like-minded people who have the same concerns. Get together, organize. We're encouraging people to get together, start meeting once a month or once every other week, and start saying, hey, let's find out who has what skill sets. How can we put together a group of nurses and doctors and nurse practitioners and people to deal with some of our health care so that we're not dependent on the hospital system? How can we put together food supply locally with our local farmers and ranchers so we're not dependent on the grocery stores or the fact that they're looking to put bioengineered food? We know that Gates is looking to do lab-grown meat, lab-grown chicken, and they're going to probably put stuff in it that could be very dangerous. So we are really advocating that when you get together locally and have these conversations, and then also connect with the church, pray that God would connect you with a church locally that would maybe have eyes to see this, that they're not, their head's not buried in the sand, that they're looking at these things and saying, okay, how can we help to get our people both spiritually ready for these days, but also practically. We are looking at our church here in Knoxville, Tennessee, at being a storehouse where we can help people to get ready, to practically get their homes ready, grow food, barter, and communications. We're really promoting alternative communications as well, so that if the grid goes down, because that's one of the things Iran.
We're going to have to stop right there.
They're targeting our grid system.
We're going to have to stop right there, Shahram, only because we're only got a few minutes left, and we've got additional callers here. So check out even the DVD that Shahram's got available there. Let's go to Becky in Tomah, Wisconsin. Becky, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you. I was just going to state that so many of us are uneducated and even unaware that those of Muslim faith are creeping into American culture in everything, in our government, in our organizations, and even in, we were watching basketball and professional athletes refusing to be rehydrated because they were celebrating Ramadan. And it's just, I thank you for bringing this program because so many we're just unaware. Where that it's, you know, they're preparing. We know they're preparing for something big.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you for the call. And it's interesting, you know, how they'll make an issue out of that. But yet when you have an athlete that says, you know, one way through Jesus Christ, no Muhammad, no this, he's the one that the media is coming against.
That's exactly right. The double standard is an understatement now, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. too, with how much they're promoting Ramadan. And yet athletes, look at these athletes that are standing up in the NHL. That yes. are saying we're not going to wear these pride jerseys. Yep. We should be celebrating that. We should be praying for those Christians and saying, thank you, God, that there's those Christians that have the courage to stand up against that agenda. But yeah, no, we're celebrating Islam. We're celebrating those things. So it's up to us. The church has got to rise up and be educated and stand against these things and stand for righteousness.
Let's go to Neosho, Missouri. And Jim, you're on the air.
Yeah, great show today, guys. I just had a question real quick for Sharam. I heard years ago Chuck Missler was talking about Islam, and he made the comment that Islam itself, really more so than a religion, is actually a political ideology. Can you kind of speak to that for a second?
You're absolutely correct, and Chuck Missler is correct, because in Islam, there is no separation of what would be considered religious from what would be considered governmental. When Jim was talking about, you know, being concerned about the imposition of Sharia, Sharia is the way. It's their law. It's totalitarian. And so they don't consider separation. They don't, and that's the way Islam has operated since its early inception. So when Islam comes into a culture, they go from what's called the lower house, which means they're in a house of war, to the upper house, which means a house of surrender. In order to get to the upper house, they have to be political. That's why you see so many Muslim groups in America politically active and supporting the Democrats, supporting the left, because of power. And yet what's interesting in Michigan, Jim, is now those Muslims are turning on the left, because now they're turning and they're standing up against the LGBTQ, they're standing up against transgenderism, they're standing up against abortion, because those things are not promoted in Islam. But when they were in the lower house, when they were in a minority, they supported those things in order to be able to destroy our culture. This is battle, folks. We got to understand this is spiritual warfare, and this is their agenda. So the caller is absolutely right that Islam is a totalitarian system.
Thank you for the call. And the closing music says we're out of time. We're sorry to other people on hold. We've just exhausted the clock. Sharam Hadian is with us. His website, TILministry.com. You want to look at his items there, put a /order, TILministry.com. For information, the upcoming conference, 715-486-8066. Sharam, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.